Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 6th of October, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we are broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live radio studio in the showroom workstation building in the centre of Sheffield. We're going out on FM radio and through our internet live stream. But however you're listening, you can also listen as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website and talking podcast. Last week's programme featured Jay Biani of Biani HR and Employment Law. She was giving us an update on what's been going on in employment law and how that will affect you and your business. If you missed it, then catch the podcast from the Sheffield Live website, sheffieldlive.org. Radio shows, look up Business Live and it's there. But that was then and this is now. What's coming up today? Well, it was my great pleasure to meet a chocolate entrepreneur earlier on this week. Yes, Max Scotford, he set up a business selling chocolate, bullion chocolate, and he won an award last week, a large prize. So regular listeners might have heard last Friday I mentioned the Sheffield Hallam University's Hallam Enterprise Awards, supported by Santander, with prizes, cash and kudos for the winners. There were a strong cohort of finalists, and there were several prizes. There was one overall winner, and that was Max. So I contacted Max to see what it takes to become an award-winning chocolatier and threatened to go all Paxman on him if he didn't bring lots and lots of chocolate. He did bring chocolate. It was very, very tasty. And, well, we gave him a gentle time. But really, honestly, obviously, we had to ask him all about his businesses, the challenges that he's faced, how he's got to where he has come to. And we did taste the chocolate and we did give our honest opinion. So that's coming up later on in the programme. Well, just in a few minutes, in fact. But before that, what else is going on? Well, it's Community Business Weekend this weekend. Now, this is really, really exciting and Sheffield Live is involved. Community Business Weekend is organised by Power to Change. It's the second annual Community Business Weekend. It's taking place all the way through to Sunday. It celebrates the 7,000 community businesses across England that are run locally. And Sheffield Live itself is a local community business. And radio station and TV channel are opening our doors today to invite anyone to come and see what we do and how we do it. So you can come in, you can see the studios here in Sheffield Live today, anytime between midday and 5 p.m. today. We're at 15 Paternoster Row. You can get a tour of the Sheffield Live TV and radio studio, see the green screen multi-camera TV studio in action, meet some of the Sheffield Live team, find out more about what's going on here at Sheffield Live, and how you can get involved. Exciting stuff. So come on down today between 12 and 5 p.m. And Community Business Weekend itself, as I mentioned, second annual Community Business Weekend. Loads of events going on nationwide, celebrating community businesses and the impact that they've had. One example, we interviewed the Angler's Rest pub on this programme a couple of months ago. That's a community business out in the Peak District, not far from Sheffield. In fact, you can just jump on the train and get there. That pub was facing potential closure because the brewery that used to own it hadn't necessarily been investing in it. But it wasn't what the community wanted to happen. So the villagers of Bamford, businesses, villagers, got together and bought the Angler's Rest through a community share issue and then invested in it. It's now spending around £200,000, as I recall, on procuring food and drink from other local businesses in the Hope Valley. So it's investing in its community. It's supporting the local economy. It's created plenty of local jobs. It seems to be thriving. I didn't only interview them from the Angler's Rest, but I popped in for a beer and a baked potato. fantastic example of a thriving community business. But there are 7,000 thriving community businesses across the UK. Loads more details about all of them on the Power to Change website. Go to powertochange.org.uk to find out more about community business, and you can look up Community Business Weekend nationwide on there as well, with loads and loads going on. There is actually a dedicated site for Community Business Weekend as well, communitybusinessweekend.org, and you can find details there. There's even a hashtag, and I've tweeted it already this morning, CBWKD17. So if you're on Twitter, you can follow all the action against the hashtag there. But your biggest treat is to come into the Sheffield Live studio today, 12 until 5pm. Drop in on Paternoster Row and say hello to some of the presenters and some of the team here. Explore the studio. So, plenty of other things going on in business and in social enterprise. We've got some announcements. We've got some really exciting forthcoming events too. But before we turn to those, I think it's time to turn to our first guest, to our guest of this week, Max Scotford. Now, I caught up with Max for a detailed and in-depth interview this week, alongside Rob King as well, from Sheffield Hallam University's enterprise team. Rob is an enterprise advisor working to support businesses set up by students and graduates of Sheffield Hallam University. And as I mentioned, last Thursday evening, it was the Hallam Enterprise Awards, and Max Scotford won Bullion Chocolate. There were nine other finalists as well: Nelly Naylor Photography, Harvey Morton IT and Digital Marketing, Julie Weissenborn of Studio Budgie Galore Jewelry Workshops, Ali Sayadi Zadeh of Lubricam Limited, Elena Yang Yu, who runs Yang for Young Limited Braille Learning Tools, Sam Pipkin of Green Threads Clothing, an ethical clothing business, Danielle Ray of I Love a Dan Tan, Shuju Chien of Shuju Kitchen, and Sam Kennedy of Clear Commercial Services Limited. So congratulations to all the finalists. We're going to find out more about what made Bullion Chocolate win, why Max feels that they won, what he's going to do with the money, because they didn't only take away kudos, they took away hard cash, how he's set up his Bean to Bar chocolate business, challenges he's faced and how he's overcome them, and his forthcoming plans as well, in an in-depth interview with Max, with Rob King as well involved from Sheffield Hallam. Rob, as I mentioned, business startup advisor, and we will play the interview with Max and with Rob now. Thanks so much for joining me today. So as I've mentioned, Max, you are the worthy winner of the award last week, the Hallam Enterprise Award. It's not only kudos, it's hard cash. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
No. You must have been over the moon.
Well, it was a really great event, and obviously to come away with it, to actually winning it, it's just fantastic. And I can obviously use that cash now to sort of energise my business and take it to that next level.
Brilliant. And so let's start then with first things first. What's the business, Bullion Chocolate, Barter Bean Chocolate? What's that all about?
So we're based down in Kelham Island, and we create what is known as Bean to Bar Chocolate. So in its simplest form, we're taking cocoa beans through a series of complex steps that result in a finished bar of chocolate. Now, there's only a handful of people in the UK doing this, and we're the first company in Yorkshire to do it. But it creates a chocolate that's sort of, I mean, we'll get onto a bit of a taster a bit later on.
Oh, yes.
But it creates a chocolate which it's just, well, you'll see, it's just completely different to anything you've tried. But it's not bitter. The flavour profiles of each bean, each nuance is very clear when it's in your palate. And it's almost comparable to that of a fine wine. So the different regions that we're working with all come across in each of the bars. So
sounds good to me. I think we should go straight to that part of the interview. No, I do actually, but let's find out a bit more. So you're now 24, is that right?
So 24, yeah. Yeah. 24 in August, just gone. So
great. And so you've entered the Hallam Enterprise Award. You won last week. And as I've mentioned, it's not only the kudos, it is hard cash there. But how did that happen? You mentioned you have the small factory in Kelham Island. Yeah. Your business is trading. Where's the connection then to Sheffield Hallam?
So, I'll talk you through a bit of the journey that I went through to get there.
Yeah.
But I started off trained to be a chef at Sheffield City College.
Mm.
And when I finished the course, I went on to further my education at Sheffield Hallam University.
Yeah.
And it was actually in the first year, the university were doing a competition called the Enterprise Challenge.
Yes.
Where you submitted a business idea. And in return, you could win some bit of cash. But I decided not to enter because I was pursuing my studies, but I was always coming up with different ideas. And on the completion of my degree, I've been working with, trying to do my own thing for some time now.
Yes.
But I decided to get some years in my belt in sales and marketing. So not only do I have that food background, it gave me a bit of business acumen, which I know is so important when you're creating a business. And
it's a vital experience working in a business in Sheffield.
That's it. So I've got that sort of experience in business, and I've got the food background, and I got lucky. An opportunity presented itself to fall into a bit of money, which allowed me to invest into mm-hmm. bullion.
Great. So, and so, when did you get bullion going?
Last year I built the factory. So it was in conjunction with, I've lowered my hours at my place of employment to 3 days a week, which allowed me to work 2 hours on bullion. 2 days a week on
yeah.
bullion. And it was kind of just like getting it ready for the launch. I was aiming for Christmas, but lots of my equipment, because it's not made in the UK, I had to source it from Italy and America. There were some delays and everything got pushed back. So I ended up launching in January. And so the product has been trading since January as an actual range. So
right, great. So a few things there that are worth exploring. First of all, sourcing your equipment from Italy, from America, from all over.
Yeah.
Your equipment's one thing, your raw materials are another. Has it been difficult? Has it been challenging to source the equipment you needed, and as well as the ingredients?
So, it was about a year and a half of research mm. from coming up with the idea that I wanted to pursue this. I was making it at home already in an Indian spice grinder on my mum's kitchen side. So that's kind of where it started. And so I knew the processes, but I needed to scale to somewhere where I could push out a reasonable amount of chocolate bars.
Yes.
Is one thing. So I had to obviously do my research, and it took me from deciding I wanted to do it a year and a half to source everything and putting it into a factory.
Right.
So it's kind of like a micro, it's on the same scale as a micro brewery.
Yes.
So it's only in a 300 square foot unit, but everything there is fit for purpose. And at the moment we can push around 1,000 bars a month out of that facility. So.
Okay, so you've got the capacity for 1,000 bars a month coming out of a 300 square foot facility down in Kelham Island.
Yeah.
And you launched in terms of the bars being available for sale in January this year.
Yeah.
Is that a good time to launch chocolate when people are starting to think, I need to be healthy in January?
Well, it kind of eases you into it. I mean, obviously, I was only making around 2 kilograms at a time at home. So that was only around maybe 25, 30 bars. So I was never being used to doing these thousands, quite a lot of bars, especially when you're hand wrapping them.
Yes.
So it kind of eased me into it. And to be honest with you, it takes me a month to make the chocolate. So it takes 3 days in the grinder. It's a day of roasting, a day of sorting. So it takes about a week to actually produce it, and then 3 weeks of maturing. So I leave it on the side for the flavours to develop a little bit further. So it's actually a month until I'm able to sell chocolate bars. So that's why it took a bit of time to get going.
Yes.
With it. But obviously you've got Easter, Mother's Day,
indeed.
Valentine's. There's quite a few events coming up. So, well, we're coming up, so I could prep for that and get ready for it.
Great. Good stuff. And so now, going from strength to strength, people are becoming more and more aware of you and of bullion and this award last week.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, it's recognition, but it's also, there was a prize as well.
That's it.
Now, you're against strong competition, and we'll hear a bit more about the fact that there were other prizes, too. But you're getting strong competition from some very, very good businesses connected who entered the Hallam Enterprise Award, who were finalists as well. First of all, what do you think the judges saw in you? Why do you think you won?
I studied the criteria of what they wanted from the pitch, and one of the main things that stood out for me in there was potential. And I hope I'm on the crest of something big. So, like I said, the craft industry, craft in general has become very popular recently. So you think of craft beer, coffee, all the stuff done by hand, and it kind of starts in America, and then what happens over there follows over here.
Yes.
Now, like I said, craft beer and craft coffee has boomed. Chocolate, that craft principle's not been applied to chocolate yet. And it's not boomed, but in America, the value last year was over $100 million. So it's the spikes there, which I've spotted. I'm just hoping that the UK is going to follow that trend. So basically, in my pitch, I want to communicate that potential that was there and how I could take advantage of it using the money that was available to be won. So
yes, I see. Great. And the overall prize was £5,000.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? So. Excellent news there. Now, what are you going to do with the prize money?
We've outlined 6,000 bars for our first year of trading. So we've still got a few to go. So I kind of basically, when I was pitching to the judges, I wanted to tell them how we were going to achieve that and put us on track to become this sort of larger business and larger brand and let people know about bullion. So I was looking at the two opportunities presenting themselves about a month before I was pitching. Mm. So the first one is the chocolate show. It's the largest chocolate show in the UK. It's in Olympia in London, and it's actually next week, which is handy. So it's a bit late in signing on.
Yeah.
But it came at just the right time. But there's 30,000 people there. They go over 3 days. So it's a massive opportunity for us to show bullion as a concept and introduce loads of people to Bean to Bar as well and let them try our stuff and obviously sell a few bars as well. And the other opportunity, which I can't believe it's happened already, but Vogue magazine got in touch last month as well to see if we'd like to feature our bars in their Christmas hamper selection page.
Right.
So obviously, so were two issues, and they told me they get an average of 1.3 million viewers per issue. So obviously, I'm wanting to show people about Bean to Bar and grow bullion as a brand. So again, this opportunity presented itself, and again, comes at a cost. So the money will be going towards them two opportunities there.
And these opportunities, you spelt these out in your pitch at the Hallam Enterprise Award final in terms of if you won, this is what you were going to do.
Exactly. I made it very clear because for all Lena, I could have been going on my jollies around Christmas time, couldn't I? So I wanted to be very clear about what the money was going towards and how it was going to impact on my business.
Yes.
And obviously, I think, like I said, the passion was one of the main criteria as well. So getting that across in your pitch is really important too.
Grand. Super. Well, congratulations on winning. Can't wait to do a taste test, but deferred gratification, we're going to come to it in a moment or two, and we'll return with a couple of quick-fire questions for you in a moment,
right,
Max. But let's just bring Rob in to the equation here, if that's okay, because Rob's in the studio with us as well. Rob King, thanks for coming in today.
That's fine, yeah.
So you've been supporting entrepreneurs through Sheffield Hallam University's entrepreneurial support programme, and you must have been really enjoying the final, but it's a bit tough, isn't it, when you've seen all finalists and you've probably worked with quite a few of them and seeing them all competing.
Yeah, I mean, there were 10 people in the final, and all very good businesses, you know, in their own merit, all very different at different stages, and I think that made it really, really difficult for the judges. Speaking to the judges when they made their decision, they were unanimous in deciding Max as the winner. But they found it tough. You know, they had tough competition, and it wasn't easy for them to choose a winner. Like Max has said, we were looking and we kind of gave a remit of looking for the potential, just because all the businesses were at different stages. So some had been trading for a few years, some were about to trade, and it's looking for that potential in the ideas.
Yes.
the ideas were all very exciting ideas, and that's the great thing about working with students and graduates with these ideas. They are exciting ideas.
Yes, they are, and very varied and diverse ideas too.
Yeah, yeah.
And Max is a winner indeed, but as there were some other prizes too. There were a couple of runner-up prizes, and there was also a Best Pitch award decided by the audience on the night.
Yeah. So there were the two runner-up prizes, as you mentioned, of £2,000 each.
Yeah.
And one of these was won by Nellie Naylor, who has a same-sex wedding photography business.
Yes.
So doing weddings for same-sex couples. She's found a niche in the market, a great idea, a very passionate person who kind of has the enthusiasm for her business. And also Danielle Ray, who has a business doing spray tanning. She's, again, found an opportunity through something that she was in a situation where she became a single parent and found it a struggle to find work. So her idea stemmed from her own situation, but then she wanted to put something back and give something back to other single parents who were struggling to find work. So she's got a very successful business as well. So two very worthy runners up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we'll have to get Nellie Naylor and Danielle Ray on the programme at some point to talk about Nellie Naylor photography and I Love a Dan Tan. And, and in the meantime, I know they're both active on Twitter and online, so worth looking up. And then there was the pitch award as well.
There was the audience pitch, which is very close, but it was won by Harvey Morton, who has an IT business, Harvey Morton IT Services. He's got a great business. He's got a great story. He's 19 years old, and he's been running his business since he was 15, so since he was at school.
Yes.
So a very good business. He's just entered his second year at university, and I think it was his story and his pitch that helped him win the Best Pitch Award.
Right, so a powerful, compelling story of how he got to where...
Great. Alongside a very successful business.
Yeah.
Just at the age of 19, so...
Superb. Well, good for them all, and for all the finalists as well. And in terms of your role as a business startup advisor, you're working with... students who are currently studying at Sheffield Hallam University, but also people who former students as well. Is that right? Who want
Absolutely,
to start a business?
Yeah, we support both students and graduates as well of Sheffield Hallam. It is a very interesting job. You know, working with people with ideas. You're always seeing the same sort of ideas, but you're always seeing new ideas as well. So
I bet you are, yes.
Very interesting job. I'm very fortunate.
Indeed.
To work with such people.
Yeah, it must be really interesting, really fascinating. And when your mentees then go on and become hugely successful businesses, it must be joyful to sort of see that you've played a part in nurturing that success and getting them going.
Yeah, absolutely. No matter how small a part you've played, you feel proud of those people and pleased that they've gone on to succeed. With such as Max, for instance, I first met Max when he was 16 with a completely different business idea, but he was always somebody who you thought actually he's going to be an entrepreneur. So you kind of quite often get a feeling for the person and sort of how they are going to go on to sort of have success with not necessarily the first idea they might come up with, but you know they're going to do something. So
indeed,
it's really, really, really pleasing. Yeah.
Great. Super. Well, let's just return to Max for a few quick fire questions if we can. So Max, first of all, Rob mentioned he met you when you were 16 initially.
Yeah.
Clearly, the dream of entrepreneurship, but also the actual passion for chocolate, for example. Mm-hmm. Now you've gone away and you've worked in marketing and sales capacity. You've honed your business skills as well. Mm-hmm. Was it always your dream to work with chocolate, though?
I fell in love with chocolate when I was at catering college.
Mm.
So working with it there. And during my time there, like Rob said, I went to the Chamber of Commerce where Rob was working.
Yes.
And was seeking business support for, I actually wanted to launch, it was called Chocolate Bar. So I had the domain name chocolatebar.co.uk and had this idea of creating a bar, maybe on West Street, somewhere like that, where people could come down and have like chocolate themed cocktails or candy shots. I don't, it was like I said, I was young, but I wanted to work with chocolate in that sense.
Yes.
But I think we did a business plan together and it came to around £120,000 for stock, but no one's going to lend that sort of cash to a 17-year-old. So, obviously having that passion there, wanting to work with something in that way. I went to further my education at university, and then I might not have got the chocolate bar yet, but you never know. Down the line, it could do a full circle.
Watch,
but we'll have to see.
That's absolutely. It. Yeah, superb. Good. And would you say that mentoring, well, could you have got to where you are now without accessing mentoring from Rob when he was back at the Chamber, where he is now, from other people you've asked for? I mean, a lot of people on this radio programme have talked about the value of mentoring, asking for advice. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but clearly you've gone on out there. You've looked for the advice that is available to people. Has that been kind of invaluable?
I'm kind of a bit like a sponge. I'll take whatever I can and apply it in my own sort of way. But, I've met loads of people over the years, but one thing I've always stuck to is having a monthly someone in my life that is my mentor and meet them on a monthly basis. So it's kind of all the noise that's gone over that past month, I can sit down with somebody with experience, I can tell them where I'm at, bounce ideas off each other, and basically we can kind of suss out where we're at, what needs to be done. And it's kind of kept me on track to where I want to be.
Yes.
And like different, I mean, there's a, like I said, there's a lot of noise, different things getting thrown out here, and it's kind of finding out what's important and what tasks are high priority. And that's what I found very, very useful. And also, the contacts that the mentors at the university have, introducing you to different people. I've got stockists through my mentors who have introduced me to some other people, and it's just a network of people that it's just really, really valuable for me at the moment. And I can honestly say that if I wouldn't have had these sort of people to guide me, I don't think I would be in the sort of position I am now. I'd have been doing a lot of Googling, that's for sure.
Yeah, grand, super. And what are the biggest challenges that you've faced during the journey so far?
I work, like I said, it's kind of me on my own doing this business, but I've got someone helping me part-time now. But it's obviously, it's a new form of chocolate, so trying to introduce people who are used to sort of I don't know if I can name any names on radio, but normal chocolate bars, to try and introduce them to something a bit more premium with it, obviously a premium cost. That's a challenge in itself. So it's educating people to why this chocolate's more premium. I think it's going to happen over time because the market's growing, and like I said, what's happening in America, it's a new thing, and when people try this stuff, like I said, you're going to try on a bit, so I hope you like it. But it's just a different form of chocolate, and it's all about education, that side of things. But in terms of other challenges, obviously sourcing the equipment, making the factory, just day-to-day activities, because it's such a, like, hand-wrapping 1,000 bars a month. We foil them, wrap them in the gold paper, hand-sticker them. Everything's done by hand. Like I said, that's a challenge in itself, just to make the stuff.
It is beautifully packaged.
Thank you very much.
Very, very beautifully packaged. So that's all a challenge. Challenge of capacity as you grow as well.
There's so many challenges. I think, but that's just being an entrepreneur. If everything was going to plan, then obviously someone's done it before, and then you're not going to differentiate yourself in the market. But that's probably why nobody else does bean to bar chocolate, because it is so bloody hard. But the result of what comes out of it is it's just a different form of chocolate, and a lot of our retailers appreciate that. So lots of the craft coffee shops who are such as Tampa, Steam Yard, Depot, they're all really supportive of what we're doing at Bullion, because the same principle that they apply to coffee or are interested in coffee is what we're doing with chocolate. So that's good. So it appeals to the craft sort of market, and then there's also the high-end market that wants something a bit more premium and special, especially for gifting as well, because they want to give something a bit more something a bit unique.
Well, this makes sense, doesn't it? Because chocolate can be an everyday item, I suppose. If you want to eat mass-produced bars that are made more of vegetable oil, but it can.
You know your stuff.
I've been to a couple of chocolate.
They'll do anything.
Cocoa plantations.
Make as much money as possible and keep the cost low.
Some of them will, don't they? Yeah. And but chocolate can be a luxury, a treat for oneself, or a gift for people you love. So, and as you say, differentiation. I mean, already in supermarkets, you can see, you can buy the cheap chocolate made of vegetable oil, or you can buy a whole range of bars at a variety of prices. But as you say, no one's doing the sort of the full bean to bar.
I think when I started doing it, there's around 10 people in the country importing cocoa beans from these amazing locations and working with it starting off as a raw ingredient. So everything from roasting the beans, hand sorting them, so pulling out any sticks and stones, because you've got to remember these are coming from remote locations.
Yes.
I mean, it's a 9-step process. I won't go into it all, but it's a very lengthy process to produce a chocolate bar, and that's why it is this sort of craft process. But then you have a lot of big factories that are doing it on a, obviously there's no human connection there, it's all done through machines, and you only have to look on the back of one of their chocolate bars and see what's in it. And then if you just take a look in the back of this one, I mean, how many things are in there in terms of ingredients?
So we're looking at the back of a bouillon bar, cocoa beans, cocoa butter and cane sugar. Those are the ingredients.
So it's as pure as it gets, and it's high quality. Well, I mean, we keep everything pure, so you can truly taste the origin that it's come from. But that just shows you how simple it can be. But obviously, we're not. That's sort of why it is so. It's quite costly per bar because it is such high quality.
So what's the retail of this bar?
Retail at £7.95 RRP.
And you have to sort of explain and communicate everything that goes into this,
exactly,
as you say, so that people understand that. Well, let's get to the really super exciting part of the interview, where we put the chocolate to its test. So are we tasting 70% dark chocolate?
So this is our Guatemala bar.
Yeah.
So number 3, if you've seen it in the shops.
Great.
It's from Guatemala, so it's actually farmed by people of direct descent of the Mayans. So as a company, we'd like to do direct trade, so we're working directly with the farm, so we know they're getting all of the money. So we're doing the next best thing at the moment. We're working with a cooperative, so a charity down there that are helping these small holder farms get their beans to craft chocolate makers like me. And they produced a transparency report this year, and they've officially been named one of probably the most ethical bean distributor in the world.
Wonderful.
So it's it truly is a nice way, and they're looking after everybody at origin, which is really important. Otherwise, we wouldn't get the beans that we're getting for this chocolate. So
you can hand on heart say that there is ethic. Your supply chain is fully ethical and transparent about that. And,
I mean, I don't know if you've obviously people see fair trade, but I don't know if you've seen a recent report, but fair trade is not actually that fair.
Indeed. Coverage suggests that that's the case. Yeah.
But obviously, we're working with this cooperative that are looking after them, so at least we know it's. The origins are getting looked after, and it shows in the beans. I mean, like I said, we'll try it in a second, but you'll see for yourself, hopefully.
Let's cut to the chase then. So let's do some tasting. So what have we got?
So grab a piece.
Lovely, thank you.
So when you're doing we'll do a bit of a chocolate tasting. You first want to make sure it's had a good temper.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'd recommend is give it a snap.
Snap this next to the mic.
There you go. So
lovely.
Got a nice temper. Give it a smell if you're on. It should be quite florally sort of smells coming off that.
Yeah. Yes.
And if you want to place a piece in your mouth, just let it melt, and then you should get. I've got a piece in my mouth.
There's a gentle spiciness there.
And it should go on to. I mean, we've compared this to peach, fruitiness of a peach, and then like, let's see where you go with it. You've got your own sort of opinion on this.
Peaches, I can see, yes. But not taste even.
Not traditionally, dark chocolate's known as being quite bitter or chalky. This is kind of going against that.
It's not at all bitter. This is 70% chocolate, and there is no bitterness whatsoever.
So that's due, obviously, partly to the roasting process, but we also conch at the chocolate, which means constant agitation for 72 hours, so 3 days, just getting ground for 3 days. Not only does that develop the flavour further and release them sort of fruitiness to this particular bar, but it also makes it super smooth as well, give it that mouthfeel.
It is. It's beautiful in the mouth. Texture-wise, it's floral. As I say, no bitterness whatsoever. Absolutely magnificent.
And it's not something that you scoff all in one go. It's that the flavours of that strong, that it's something you have a piece here and there, and I just truly appreciate it and where it's come from. So it's kind of, that it needs to be on
chocolate
level
to
of
savour,
the wine.
Chocolate to appreciate.
That's it.
Yeah, and absolutely magnificent. So. This is the number 3 bar that we're toasting here. Floral peach. You say espresso as well on
that's
there,
the sort of aftertaste, because it sticks in the back of your mouth, and it's kind of like a bit of a harsher aftertaste in a good way. Like a bit. So we compare it to that as an espresso finish.
Yeah. It's a delicious bar of chocolate.
Thank you very much.
Very, very good indeed. So you have stockists already. You have a number of independent retailers who are selling bullion.
So we've got 20, since launching in January, we've managed to secure 20 retailers. So initially it was independents in Sheffield, so independent coffee shops, delis that want to support what we're doing. And the coffee shops, like I said, they're kind of a prime retailer for us because they appreciate coffee in the same way we do chocolate. So it's kind of mutual interest in that respect. But we've managed to secure a few larger retailers as well, so which is quite exciting.
Great. Okay, so larger retailers.
So in around August time, we're looking to get into Harvey Nichols and Leeds, which is quite exciting. We're just about to launch into, we've launched in Source Market down in London. So they've got shops in St Pancras Station, Marylebone, Victoria. They've got 4 outlets across the capital, but we're doing a tasting there as well. So in the next couple of days, so
brilliant. So yeah, and you'll be down in London as well for the event. You mentioned.
Well, that's it. We're going to do a tasting in each of the stores, so we can introduce bullion to their customers.
Great,
exciting.
Brilliant. Okay, good. So people can get hold of bullion, number of places in the city.
We've also got our online store as well.
You're online. So do you want to give out the website address?
Yeah, so it's www.bullionchocolate.com. And if you want to know a bit more about the process or how we make chocolate, there's a bit of a video on there. And also we've got our pictures on social media as well. And that's at Official Bullion. So you can see it for yourself.
Great. So take a look at the Twitter feed. Take a look at Max's website for Bullion Chocolate. Well worth watching the video as well.
It just shows you a bit more about what we're doing there and a bit more about the process too.
Fantastic. Superb. And Rob, of course, graduates from Sheffield Hallam University, current students, can come to you for business support and advice. Again, simple process in terms of getting involved and coming along.
Yeah. They can get in touch with the Careers and Employability Centre, which is just outside the Owen building, and speak to the advisors there, and they'll take their inquiry and sort of, if it's a business inquiry, they've got an idea that they want to pursue, then they'll put them in touch with myself. So
magnificent. That's great. Well, thing to finish on is let's scoff all the chocolate. No, let's say a massive thank you to Rob King, business startup advisor at Sheffield Hallam University, and people can get in touch as you've just mentioned, and to Max Scotford of Bullion Chocolate for coming in today. Thank you both so much.
Thanks
and
for having us.
Congratulations as well. Thank you.
We're open for business life.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. That was Max Scotford. he won all the money. Well, not quite all the money, but quite a lot of the money in the Sheffield Hallam University Hallam Enterprise Awards last Thursday evening. So I caught up with him this week to find out what makes a successful, thriving bean-to-bar chocolate business. If you've only just tuned in and you've missed the excitement of a chocolate taste test live on radio, then don't panic, because you can catch the podcast of today's programme on the Sheffield Live website. It'll be up there from about 11 a.m. All you need to do is go to sheffieldlive.org, take a look at radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to find the programme from today, Friday the 6th of October. Now, what else is going on? Well, if you're running a micro-enterprise and you've been supported by a responsible finance provider, then you've got a chance to win cash. Yes, more cash up for grabs. Four prizes of £7,500 each are available for micro-entrepreneurs in the City Micro-Entrepreneurship Awards. These are an annual celebration of Britain's micro-entrepreneurs who've accessed responsible business finance. And there's an £85,000 prize pot in this year's awards, with four prizes of £7,500 each for micro-entrepreneurs in categories recognising their sustainability and their growth. Plus, there's a prize for an entrepreneur who's created significant social value, and there's a Youth Micro-Entrepreneur Award as well. So Responsible Finance Providers, and I do a little bit of work with the organisation Responsible Finance itself, but their members are Responsible Finance Providers, and they're a crucial part of the UK's financial sector, and they offer affordable finance to many small and micro enterprises and many social enterprises too. And those providers themselves can apply for awards in the Responsible Finance Awards, covering their impact, covering their resilience. Details about the scheme and how to apply. If you want to apply for one of the City Micro Entrepreneurship Awards, go to responsiblefinance.org.uk and look up City Micro Entrepreneurship Awards 2017-18. Those awards have opened for entries today. The closing date is November, so you've got a little bit of time to get your entry in. What else? Well, last week on the programme, we mentioned the future of business, the State of Social Enterprise Survey 2017. This is published every 2 years. It's the largest, most representative survey of social enterprises in the UK, and it's demonstrating that the sector is commercially resilient. It's outperforming lots and lots of mainstream small and medium-sized enterprises when it comes to turnover, growth, innovation, business optimism, startup rates, diversity in leadership, and much, much more. Social Enterprise UK say this points towards the future of business. It's really interesting. It's a really worthwhile report to take a look at. You can find it on the Social Enterprise UK website. Go to socialenterprise.org.uk and you'll be able to find the Future of Business State of Social Enterprise Survey 2017. I'll tweet the link to that at the end of the programme today. So lots more going on. If you're running a business here in South Yorkshire, in the Sheffield City region, the Growth Hub has a number of free masterclasses that you can go along to. These are open to small and medium-sized enterprises here in the region. They aim to provide business support on areas where they know that assistance is in demand. And there's an event next Wednesday, the 11th of October, on developing an effective sales and marketing process. That's from 9:30 till 12:30. Managing people on Wednesday the 25th of October, developing effective relationships. Financial planning and financial management and financial planning, Monday the 13th of November. And then managing key business tasks. That's a masterclass on Wednesday the 29th of November. So there's plenty going on there that you can go along to. Also coming up, of course, it's the Connect Sheffield event. This has been organised by the Chamber of Commerce. That is on the 18th of October, Connect Sheffield. And details on the website, connectsheffield.scci.org.uk. So only a week and a half away. They've announced all the speakers for the event now, and you can find them on the website there. And how to go along? Well, if you want to go along to the conference, free to attend. They have Gordon McRae from Gripple early on in the event, and plenty of other interesting speakers. Take a look at the website, connectsheffield.scci.org.uk, for more details. Then in November, of course, it's the MADE Entrepreneurship Festival coming up once again, returning to the Crucible Theatre in Sheffield. Now, there's a big lineup of interesting speakers talking about how they've grown their businesses from tiny businesses to huge businesses. There's something for everyone there. And usually we go along. I've interviewed the entrepreneur Levi Roots after he spoke at the MADE Festival for Sheffield Live TV and radio, and plenty of the other speakers too. You can get details about that at the MADE Festival website. What else? Well, as I mentioned at the start of the programme today, it's Community Business Weekend this weekend, and this is running all over the weekend with events across the country. It's been organised by Power to Change, celebrating the impact of the 7,000 community-owned businesses across England. And there are loads and loads of events taking place, including events here at Sheffield Live, and you can get involved in those. What you can do is you can come to an open day here at the Sheffield Live studios from 12 p.m. today through till 5 p.m. And all you need to do is come down to Sheffield Live, 15 Paternoster Row, Sheffield, S1, centre of Sheffield. And you can come and have a tour of the studios, not only the radio studio, but also the TV studio as well. See the green screen technology in all its glory. Meet some of the presenters. And if you're running a community business here in Sheffield, then you're also invited to come on air from 12 till 3. There's a special programme being broadcast on Sheffield Live Radio, probably a chance to be on TV as well. And you can come in and talk about your community business on air. So come on, get involved. Come and talk to Sangeeta and Paul, running a special programme from 12 all the way through to 3 today. Well worth doing that, well worth getting involved. So I think it's time for us to take a quick break for a quick track of music. And what we're going to do is play a track by Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds. This is Borderline.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Sheffield Live.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live's weekly business and social enterprise programme with me, Jamie Veitch. Now, if you're running a business or a social enterprise, then you're invited to get involved. We invite you to get involved every single week. You can send us your news. You can put yourself forward to be on this programme. You can comment on something going on in business and social enterprise locally, regionally or nationally that affects you. You can send us a comment to read out, or you can suggest that you come on air and talk with us. Now, that's a standard call out that I invite you all to do every single week, but today something special as well, because it's Community Business Weekend this weekend. There are events going on all around the country. Power to Change is celebrating community businesses, the 7,000 community businesses across the UK. One of them is the Angler's Rest pub in Bamford. I interviewed them a few months ago. The pub was saved from potentially closing after it wasn't being invested in by the brewery that owned it, by villagers in Bamford who got together, organise a community share issue, in effect a special type of crowdfunding and ownership campaign to take over the pub. They're now thriving. They came on air and talked about that with me on this programme, and they're not only thriving, but they're spending loads of money supporting other businesses. They're buying sausages and meat and drinks and other things from other businesses in the Hope Valley. They've employed lots of staff. Community businesses making a difference. Now, Community Business Weekend, this weekend, to celebrate community businesses. Loads of events going on. Sheffield Live has events too. There's an open day today from 12 through to 5. So you can come down to Paternoster Row, come into Sheffield Live, see the radio studios, see the TV studio and green screen, and find out how you can get involved with the studio. Also, if you want to come on air and talk about your community business, then Sangeeta and Paul are running a special show on the radio from 12 through to 3 today. You can come in, you can talk about what you're doing, how you're doing it, why you're doing it, mention your business. How very, very exciting. Just come on down to Sheffield Live and get involved. Exciting stuff. Now, that's almost all for this programme, but do pop in, do take the opportunity to come into Sheffield Live. And we'll be back, Business Live will be back on air next Friday from 9 through to 10 a.m. next week. But don't go away now. Next up on Sheffield Live, our fantastic folk music programme, Thank Goodness It's Folk, is on from 10 all the way through to 12. So stay tuned for that. It's Sam. Sam is on air today. He's doing a special request show. It's also a special day. Well, it was yesterday. Happy birthday, Sam, for yesterday. Right. Tune in next week. Thanks so much for listening today. Thanks Max Scotford and Rob King for a great interview. Thanks Sangeeta, clapping there in the studio as sound engineer. We'll be back on air next Friday, so tune in then. But enjoy Thank Goodness It's Folk, and I'm going to play out with a little bit of music by Block Party. This is Banquet.
We're open for business live.
This is Sheffield Live.